So it's good to see you again this evening. Thank you for your ongoing assistance as we look at some readings and so on as we work through our service. The theme, as you know, is a series looking at the whole topic of suffering and its role, if you like. What do we have to understand this whole concept? How do we put this together and try to make some sense of it? Remember, my opening picture was actually a very, very pretty picture, but with lots of strange, painful, difficult issues that apply to us. And straight away, I had to say, in order to try and understand this, we have to sort of organize it a little bit, simplify things a little, because the reality is going to be hard and difficult. Before we can even do that, we've got to just recognize and accept the reality and pain that we have to see going in the world around us and in our own experience and lives. Recognize the facts, ask the hard questions, sense the deep feelings. Before we ever really start to chew through the answers, we've got to see that they exist. But once we've done that, it's useful for us to start the process of working it through, trying to work it all about. And that's what this whole series is likely to be about. I began last Sunday and said that it's worth us just thinking it through, how this might all fit together. We might imagine that we live in a world where there's the reality of our world today is... Go back, here we are, yeah. Ooh, got all those things up there now. That there's a world in which there is might be taken as terrible, a hell, if you like, or wonderful, like a heaven, but in practice it's not. It's a bit of both, isn't it, in our experience. As we look at that world in which we live now, we find that we can address that in two broad ways. We can either think there is a God who makes sense, or there isn't. If there is no God, well, we can do our best to sort of muddle our way through, but it's never going to be an ultimate example. It's only ever going to be the best medicine we can find to see us through everyday life. But maybe there is a God, and we can fit him into it somehow. It seems to me that when we do that, we can end up going in two directions. One is to say that we live in a bad world, a God with power, but he's bad because he doesn't help. Or there is a God who really cares, but he's too weak to help us with. It could resolve in either of those ways. Both would make sense, and both would be no help, wouldn't they? But then argued that there is another possibility, that there is mystery. We cannot explain everything, but nonetheless, it is true. Both these things are true. There really is a God with power, a God with judgment about what is right and wrong, and yet a God who also cares and loves. We can't resolve the whole thing, but what we do find is useful and helpful. So then I said, well, what can we make up? What can we understand this? And I said, well, if we take a Bible's perspective on this, look at particularly what Jesus had to say, there's certainly one message that we can learn from it, whatever else we might find as we're going to move on to. And that is to learn that there's a warning in the suffering that we pain in the world in which we live. We notice that there are two dimensions to it. One was the way in which the world existed that we're in. Disasters happen, accidents take place. In this case, a tower had fallen down. It's nobody's fault. But, said Jesus, there's a warning. And then there was an extra layer to it, wasn't it, as well? There's also evil going on in the world where wickedness can take place. We've heard it tragically yet again in our news, haven't we? Only just this week again of how evil can take its place in our society, inflict on people's lives. Something similar was happening in Jesus' day when a man called Pontius Pilate was in charge and had done something rather similar. Acted in a wicked way. There was no particular suffering on the part of anyone. But the message for everyone else is to look on this pain and suffering of our world and say, whatever else we might think, there's a warning to all of us. And that warning is that we've got to correct our relationship with God somehow. Things are going wrong. There is no easy answer. We've got to correct our relationship with God. We've got to repent. At least that's what Jesus said. And it makes sense to me. I hope it makes that sense to you. And that perhaps was the sternest message that we've learned so far. We have to learn that fact that applies to us all and need to spread it with others too while there's still time. But this evening I wanted us to move on and say, as well as that great warning, there is also help. there's also particular things that will help us to deal with and work through the trials and difficulties of life and experience and suffering. And fundamentally, we find this by looking to God himself and seeing, well, can God, as well as give us messages, is God able to experience with us and share with us this problem and help us through pain? Now, what about God himself in the ultimate divine sense? There are actually verses that seem to talk about God himself suffering. It's not always as clear as you might think, but there definitely are some verses that seem to talk about God, as it were, God in heaven feels pain. Or does it? Here's one example. A verse here from the Old Testament. You can always help me with readings here. Let's read this. The Lord saw... Now we find this and not many, but other verses that seem to say something similar, that God in heaven, even he might feel pain. Or does he? Well, the answer is actually we don't really know. Theologians have debated it for years to think whether God himself feels pain. Is it a literal sense for God to feel pain? Or is it more a sort of an analogy of human language? My inclination is to think that in some way we can't possibly understand God really does feel pain. But ultimately, I don't think we can really analyse it and work it through. I think it's too deep for us. Because in any case, what we actually find that the most profound kind of suffering that God himself experiences is when God himself has become a human being. When humanity and divinity are brought together as one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the real experience of pain and suffering is expressed and understood and felt as a reality when it happens through a real human blood of a human being who has every aspect of our lives too. Physical, emotional, nerves, bones. Every single aspect of us takes place when these two become one, as God becomes a human being. And it's here we find the first and most profound help that we might find. We're dealing with a God then who is not up there, who has no engagement with us. He's a God who not only has things to say, but also a God who suffers in and with us. And where there isn't an answer, there is nonetheless an experience that he has shared. Now, there's many verses, passages in the New Testament we can zoom in to show us on this. I've just picked a couple of verses from Hebrews, not least because it makes the points we're looking for. So I'll zoom in on this as we read about how Jesus, as the priest of God and also God becoming man, experiences pain as a human being in order, firstly, well, for this first dimension of it. Let's read this verse together, thinking of how he died. For this reason,
he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people.
Now here we find, first, a whole dimension of pain and suffering that God suffers for us, which we cannot possibly engage with or understand at all. We're talking here about something complete and total and profound. And it's the pain and suffering on the cross that Jesus suffered in order to pay the price of our sins, as it says here, to bring atonement for the people. When Christ died on the cross, he went through a whole set of pain, which is just beyond us, isn't it? When you think it through, we're saying God here is bearing the pain that we deserve, but he is experiencing. And he's doing it in such a way that we will never, ever actually have to bear it ourselves. We might have brought a bit of pain on us as we think about it, as we've felt guilt or fear or whatever it might be. But the actual thing itself, if we realize what's happened on the cross, is that the most profound and fundamental pain that we could ever experience, God himself, separated from God the Father by God the Son, is experienced by God through the most conceivable suffering and pain we could ever possibly imagine. Have you ever thought that one through? Because it means you have a God who has suffered as well as a God who has spoken. How profound that reality is. And you can't actually imagine it. You can't make it real. I suppose the best we can say is we just need to allow this truth to melt upon us day by day and let the words speak to us. Sharing together in communion is one way which we can actually do this together, just to feed ourselves regularly on this thought. Keep coming back to it, thinking it's true. God has suffered through his Son Jesus Christ, that we may not feel this pain in any sense at all. It's the most profound of all the things we've said, and this can comfort us more than we ever possibly might imagine once these truths start to touch into our hearts and our minds as those who have been atoned for by God. And he went through the pain of humanity in order to achieve it. But alongside this, there's another side to it. A kind of pain and struggle and pain and suffering, which Jesus himself went through as a human being, and which we do expect ourselves to continue as well. A kind of struggle and pain which we will find alongside knowing that Jesus has done it too, just as we are. There's many examples that we could draw upon. We can think about Jesus' life and think, you know, he too probably has a bereavement, for example, in his own life, didn't he? He would weep when his friend Lazarus died. We know that Jesus himself would have had difficult physical pains when he had to face his stretches and struggles of different types. In the verses I've chosen here, I've homed in on another kind of pain and suffering which Jesus himself felt and you and I have also suffered. Let's read this verse. Because
he being himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
So what's the picture about? What was going on at this point? Sorry? 40 years, goodness knows. 40 days, that's right. He went out, in this particular case, he went out tempted for 40 days, didn't he? What actual suffering did he experience as he did that? What list could we give to the actual suffering that he felt? Hunger. Real physical hunger, yeah? Thirst. Desperate thirst.
Loneliness.
Boredom. 40 years, 40 days, yes. Where else? Pardon? Influence. He was under evil power, the most physical evil power in the universe. I suspect that he felt actual mental health. You know, I think that he was probably at the very bringe, edge of insanity. Remember, the story says he had to be rescued by angels at the end. I think he would have died physically had he just died and reached 40 days without the help of angels. He was going through every extreme capacity of a human being through being tempted. Do you ever suffer when you're tempted? There's one good reason why you don't, and that's because you give in. Otherwise, you will suffer because you are tempted as a human being. So let's have a think. I've chosen something that I think might actually cause you to suffer. Now, here it is. You have to be very, very careful with it because it's quite dangerous. This is really quite valuable and useful. You might need it for work that you do, or there might be things that you enjoy. Have to be so, so careful. Because this here, did you know, can cause you pain. Have a think. Are you not tempted? Do you not give in? Have a think. Is there any way in which you've actually suffered because of your phone? Pause. Discuss with your neighbour. Can you think of some occasion that's actually brought real pain of some form? Stress, difficulty, whatever it might be. Any thoughts? Or not? If not, you haven't got one, you're fine. Then you're stressed by something else, probably. As a thought, have you ever suffered because of your mobile phone? Can you tell anybody willing to tell us?
Text messages late at night that upset you.
Yeah, distressing text messages come your way, you feel like you ought to answer them, yeah? Or you've slipped into doing it or something like that, yeah? With stress.
Tired the next morning.
Sorry?
Tired the next morning,
yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I'm not asking you to volunteer, but let's be honest, the temptation of pornography is real. You might be very tempted by it and resist it, or you might actually feel really guilty because of what you've watched upon it. Anything else?
When you're waiting for a reassuring message and it doesn't come.
You're fearing and you're worried and you needed it to come and it didn't get there, yeah? Have you seen this? I mean, something that's a blessing that should be good for us really does bring a real struggle into our life. Now, Jesus doesn't actually have a mobile phone. You may have noticed that. I don't think he ever had one. But my point is that even the simplest things in life, things with good potential, now in a broken world, bring suffering and pain to us. We sin and we feel guilt. Or we feel the temptation and we manage to resist it, but it brings extra stress, pain, struggle, and difficulty of what it might be. We will add other things that are far more profound than I've mentioned, although this is more significant in your life than you possibly imagine. And the truth we need to get at here is that Jesus knows what it is like for us to feel pressure, pain, struggle, physical torment, struggle of whatever kind we might mention. This is something that Jesus shares with us. Some things will be explicable and you can explain them and understand them, but other things will be things that you simply have to feel and say, there is a Saviour who is alongside me in the midst of these things. And when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, it brings comfort and help to us. And it's a reality that we can experience in our relationship with him as believers. So that's my first point, really, that Christ himself has suffered with us and therefore we can struggle alongside with him. Whatever the particular issue might be. And something marvellous starts to happen if we are then helped to be cultured, assisted with our suffering and pain. Because as we find that there is a real help available, so then we are equipped and enabled to bring some suffering and pain to others too. Becca's going to come and read for us now as we hear how Paul read in the scriptures about his own experiences of pain and struggle, and how he then found comfort in times of stress and difficulty.
Okay, we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, and it's on page 1159. So starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many.
So here we have a good example of how Paul suffered stress. He really feared his death, didn't he, at this point? Many other things went alongside it. He suffered physically and spiritually. But somehow he had got through a difficult circumstance and felt so comforted and helped in that experience that he was able to pass these things on to other people. Now, this is something really valuable for us to understand and its importance. As a pastor, obviously, it's my job to try and come up with helpful things to say. And with a few things, apart from a few things, most of the things I have to try and do with are those things theoretically that, you know, I've been learned. I've heard other people say and I pass them on. And it might be a little bit helpful to do it. I would like to think that it was a bit useful, that occasionally I think of something helpful to say. But I'll be brutally honest, there are a significant number of things where I am talking in theory, not in practice. Then I'm not going through those things just yet. I haven't been through a major bereavement, for example, something of that kind. I've never been accused of some horrible crime. No, there's all kinds of things that have never happened to me. I could try and comfort you if you went through it, but I'm saying what needs to be said rather than what I experienced. But what I also know is in this room, there are however many you are, 70 of you here, you've all been through something. And if you've been through that situation, you've got a whole different kind of help available to bless and encourage people through that sort of issue. And it's not to do with how technically you can read a Bible text about it. It's about what you can share, because you've been through it yourself. Now, what it might be is, of course, depends. And it will differ between each of us. Put a picture up. What have I got here? A black dog. You know what the black dog means, don't you? Yeah. Maybe that's been you. Don't know. I've also pulled up the dark night of the soul. When you're so far from God, you know not what. Perhaps there's been some terrible bereavement. The whole world has just fallen apart around you. The black dogs, birds are flapping in the dark and there's nothing going on. We might be talking about a broken heart. That's very real. Never laugh at people's broken heart that has been lost. Or it might be barbed wire, by which I mean real physical pain. And of course, I remind you that for much of the world today, being a Christian will mean persecution and real physical pain, suffering and death. But you might bring something else in, obviously, there's only so many thoughts. But you've been through something. You're in it somewhere, and not yet, don't wait long. And it's been really hard. Perhaps it's still really hard. If so, I can't help you right now. But my little thought is that you're not like that forever. Most of the time, it's not going to be that truth forever for you. Over time, things will start to change. It may not be spring anymore. It may not be summer. But nonetheless, things have started to move. If you like, the dog's not quite so black anymore. The barbed wire isn't as sharp anymore. It's not spring, but it's a pleasant time enough for life. And maybe that broken heart is a bit fixed, you know? We're saying you've moved on a bit here. Not into a perfect world yet, because that's coming later. But here and now, things have started to change. And what I'm saying is, if you can see that from a Christian perspective, that the experiences that you've been helped through, although painful and still painful, still in the end what you would opt not to if you had the choice, nonetheless is starting to achieve something, because you, having been comforted and helped, as Paul says, you now have something that will help others too. Your pain and difficulty has become a great value, of great value to other people. You can help them in a way that I, as a pastor who has read lots of books, can do nothing. But you can, because you've been there. You've done that. And you can help them the next step along that road. And you can do that because of Jesus. Because Jesus has suffered first and foremost. And you can follow his footsteps and show others that same way. Then, beyond that, there is a third encouragement I'd like to have. And that is the promise of eternity. The eternal comfort that is promised and that we await, looking forward to the world to come. A few verses here. We could read more, couldn't we, from Revelation? But perhaps we could just read these verses here. He will work. Now, there's much I could say here, many comments one could make. I suppose my point here is really, we will find help here and now, but ultimately we understand that pain and difficulty will continue all the way through our lives, and there are dimensions of it which, in this world, I don't know about the next, but in this world, we will not find answers. We never will. It's left deliberately so. But there is ultimately a promise that God himself will take away all pain, suffering and sorrow from ourselves. And it's done in this most wonderful way, at the thought of him wiping those tears away. Now I wanted to think about this, and how do we chew upon this and find help in it? Is it not, I mean, in a sense you could say, well, what an obvious idea, everything's going to be nice in heaven, isn't it? Nice, isn't it? Useful. But just think carefully about how the Bible says this to us. If we were thinking, let's try and say it, then we'd probably put it in every other week, wouldn't we? We'd be saying every time, don't worry, God's going to make it all right in heaven, even if it's hard now. Don't worry, God's going to make it everything in heaven, even if it is now. You know, like we read it every day. How much use is that? I think that would become a bland and empty statement if all we had was a promise of this every day. What we've actually got in the Bible is a great deal of difficulty, a great deal of pain, a great deal of struggle, confusion, and so on. And the promises of heaven actually come clearly, very infrequently, and very much towards the end. Yeah, there are hints along the way, there are promises of help along the way, but the promise will actually get to the promised land and get there and arrive, and it will be perfect and all done. That's actually at the very end, isn't it? Have you noticed? We're not saying it's all spread out here, easy. We're saying actually a whole lot of it is here. You chew your way through the tough stuff. And then, because you've been through that real experience of what life is like for us much of the time, we get to this wonderful promise at the end of it all. That's why we can believe it so well. That's why we can expect it so enthusiastically. It's obviously true. It's proved, hasn't it? It's not that we have this nice, easy comfort every moment. It is that we ultimately have this wonderful promise, so fantastic, coming. That's why I actually find the promises of heaven are so wonderful, because they are at the end of it all, rather than because they're spread out so easily in the middle. Now, don't you find that? It's not spread out easy. It's the wonderful promise at the end of it all. So that's my encouragement to you here. When you're thinking about the eternal promise, yeah, see how true it is about how hard it is now as well before you get to those words at the end. But then, of course, you reach that point and C.S. Lewis has something quite helpful too, doesn't it? Because, yes, there is a long book that ends up with the promise of heaven. But you turn the first page and you find that, sorry, you turn the last page and you find that, from CS point of view, it's the very first page too. And what will happen later is so wonderful we could never possibly imagine. Let's read these words from C.S. Lewis together at the end of this wonderful book, which I find so lovely. All their life.
Grace.
And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that there is real help for us in times of struggle, pain, and sorrow. Not easy, never fully explained, yet real. We thank you first and foremost that God himself has suffered through Christ. Whole dimensions of it we possibly can't imagine on the cross, but also temptation and struggle and difficulty in the meantime. Yet we're real helped and struggled as we get through these things. Thank you that as a result of that, we find the capacity to mature and help others in their comfort, helping them limp along even as we've limped along too. And we thank you that there is a promise of eternity that we really can weigh upon and trust upon. Not made up, not easy, but so believable because it is so hard yet so wonderful. We bring these things before you in Jesus' name. Amen.